and read some scripture as we prepare to pray. If you would like to be seated, you're sure more than welcome to do so. For Christ died for sins, for once and for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you and me to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who disobeyed long ago. I want you to listen to this part. When God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built, in it only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. The Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let's pray and confess him as our Lord and Savior this morning. Lord Jesus, we say the word Lord, but it takes on added significance and meaning when we recognize that all creation confesses you as Lord and rises to sing, raises to praise. Today, Lord, we join with all of your creation and rightfully proclaim you as Lord. Father, thank you for putting us back in touch with reality. Our culture, the world we live in, Lord, can distract us from the truth found in your word and the truth that's all around us in creation, that there is meaning to all this. It's not an accident. You've said it would be so, and it is so. And you've said, I will come again and receive you unto myself. You've proclaimed that you are I am, the great I am. And Lord, whatever situation that we are facing today, I am is enough. In faith today, we proclaim the great I am is Lord over all the issues and problems that I'm facing in life. Solution. In you is the grace and compassion, kindness, wisdom, counsel I need. So Lord, today we receive freely from you because you freely give. We receive, Lord, in humility and in deep appreciation your love, your compassion, and your grace. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you today, and may our lives reflect your glory and our love for you. Bless the offering now as it is received. Lord, we pray that you would take these gifts of sacrifice, sacrifices of praise, somehow, Lord, use them to share the good news. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. At this time, Renata is going to play a piece that she played at Celebrate Life, Regional Celebrate Life, which was at Olivet Nazarene University. And that was not last Saturday, but the Saturday before last, so a week ago, and she's going to come and play that piece. And I believe she got a first place for this piece. Good job, Renata. Looking forward to hearing it. Thank you, Renata. Beautiful. I'm partial to a flute. I just think it's one of the most beautiful instruments there is. And don't you love the fact that a lot of the hymns, a lot of the hymnology that we use today in the church is written from the melodies are with great appreciation received from some of the greatest composers that have ever walked the earth, and we set those tunes to some of our hymns, and they're absolutely beautiful. It goes along with our theme for today, that all creation reflects the glory of God. Amen. At this time, our kids ages first grade through fifth grade may be dismissed for children's worship, and Miss Jeanette is ready to receive you and lead you downstairs. It is with deep appreciation I know that all of us come to this holiday, Memorial Day, and we recognize those who have given the ultimate sacrifice. Memorial Day has its roots clear back to just after the Civil War, and it was a time to decorate the graves of those who had given their lives in the sacrifice of this country. We've come a long ways from that first decoration day that was declared when the North wouldn't let the South go and visit some of their graves, and the South wouldn't let the North go and visit some of their graves. And we've come a long ways kind of just thinking that it's about barbecuing now. But it's not. It is about, it's okay to barbecue. I'm going to have some barbecue this afternoon. But it is a reminder of those who have given the ultimate sacrifice for the freedoms that we share here in America. America, with all of her problems, I'm still happy to live here. Amen? I still love our country. I'd like to ask you a question as we begin this morning. What are you waiting on? That's a question that I guess has some undertones of you ought to be going somewhere by now. What are you waiting on? What are you doing? Ryan says, I shouldn't say this, but he says, my wife, I'm waiting on my wife as we sit out and patiently honk the horn on the car. What are you waiting on? As we pick up with the second in our series this morning of, oh, the places you'll go. Last week, we talked about the wide open air. Well, the possibilities are completely endless in regards to where you will go. Many of our folks are taking part in graduation exercises and ceremonies, and heard from some today and last Sunday who are traveling around trying to make all the graduation parties. And as you stand and walk across that stage when you're graduating high school or graduating college, the possibilities are endless in regards to where God wants to take you. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me to Acts chapter 1, verse 11, we're going to share a lot of the Word of God this morning. Most of it will be up here on the screen, but it's always good exercise, amen, to remember that you hold the Word of God in your hands, and you can actually turn there and see what God has for you on a particular day. I've been sharing with a few of you that Lynette, thank you for that devotional book by A.W. Tozer. And he's not a contemporary author by any means, and that's why I like it. And I shared with her last Sunday that I've been reading some devotional material that's over 100 years old. And the reason I'm liking it is because they write without the contemporary bias that our culture is inundated with. And it's not that I'm going to throw away the contemporary stuff either, and it's not that I'm going to throw away the old stuff, but it's like a fresh voice speaking to me from ages past. And that's why we here at Living Well Church don't make music a divisive point. We appreciate music from all generations because we believe that it speaks about not only the contemporary work that God's doing here and now, but it also speaks about what God has done and who He is back then. Amen. I want to know about the God of my grandfather. I want to know about the God of my ancestors. I want to know what it was like to experience God back then. I also want to know what He's doing in your life today, Steve. And music helps us do that. And ultimately, every expression of human gifts comes from God. So we don't look at music as religious and secular. We see music as an expression that ultimately points to God as creator. Amen. So we love it when we can do a piece like Renata just did that may not be considered Christian music, but it certainly reflects the glory of God. Amen. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who's been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen Him go into heaven. I want you to focus in for the next few minutes on one question. What are you waiting on? And also a phrase, this same Jesus will come again. Last week we talked about how the vision that God gives us and the original plan that God has for our lives, we can become so inundated with stuff. We can feel like we get buried under the daily routine of stuff. And before long, we begin to lose sight of the glory, the plan that God had for us, and the glorious future that He has for us. Simply because, well, layer after layer of just stuff gets piled on us by culture. And if we're not proactive, and if we live a reactive life, this stuff just keeps piling on, and we don't sort through and keep a clear focus on God. I want to encourage you this morning to come out from underneath the doubts and dare to believe again the possibilities of your future in Him. I want to invite you to revision and revisit the vision He gave you when you were saved. You know, nothing is worse, I think, than a broken spirit. We encounter people every day with broken spirits. I don't mean they can't be fixed by God, but what I mean is they're people that have been broken by life. And the hope that you know, it's not out of the realm of possibility that some of us here are walking around today with a broken spirit. Had a little fun sharing last week about how much my little dog loves to go on walks. And if she's watching on the live stream this morning, I can guarantee you she's sorry. She does a little dance around the kitchen when I say the word walk. She just loves to go. My father-in-law has hunting dogs, a bird dog and a rabbit dog. And there is just nothing more exciting than when he drives down and puts on a little bit of Blaze Orange and he pulls a 20 gauge out of the gun case. And those dogs just are like, let's do this thing. And that's what they live for. And season's way too short for them and for any dedicated hunter. But this is what we live for, amen. It's that vision that God has for us that He never wants us to lose, that we can so easily get buried under the stuff of life and begin to think that being chained to the doghouse is going to be the rest of our life. That's all we got to live for. I want to encourage you this morning that the caged animal mentality is not for you. Amen. I like zoos. I was talking with Monica this morning. You guys are going to the zoo tomorrow. I like zoos, but I also, part of me is, I feel bad for the animals in there because, you know, that fierceness of the tiger, the lion, there's something about when he can't get out of the bars that he's in, and his domain includes a concrete floor and includes food prepared by humans, there's just something not quite that fits the character of a lion. Amen? The mentality of a caged animal is not for us as Christians. In fact, Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 12, "Even greater things, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father." You were born with passion. Only sin and its layering effect steals away potential. Not only direct sin that we commit as individuals, but indirect sin. Just the fact that I'm living in this world that's crying for redemption, crying to be straightened out by God. We were born with passion, and this passion is only finally rediscovered in full repentance in Jesus Christ and obedience to Jesus through the power Jesus made possible through the present ministry of the Holy Spirit. Mark chapter 11, verse 23, I like this. It says, "Kid, you'll move mountains," from Dr. Seuss. But Jesus said it, Mark chapter 11, verse 23, say to this mountain, be thrown into the sea and it'll go. That's who you were created to be. Not a toothless, soft, lying around lion who can only remember what it was like to be in the wild and go rustle down your own food and shake the rain off and roar the top of the hill. That's for you and for me, amen? Still. Well, last week we briefly discussed the Trinity and Bill, just hearing wonderful things about you going last week to DeKalb. Thank you for preaching over there. Had a wonderful New Start meeting with the Roadhavers and several others last Friday night. I'll try to make you aware of the next New Start meeting. It's usually the third Friday night of every month there in DeKalb. And I'd love to have you go just to experience what God is doing over there. And I think we're going to try to have them back here before the soft launch in September so that you can get an update from them personally about what God's doing there in DeKalb. Last week, we briefly discussed the Trinity. And Bill, you did a wonderful job this morning during small groups talking about it. Thank you. The person of Jesus, now living in you and me through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says and records the words of Jesus, I need to go. Unless I go, I will not. I have to go so I can send the Comforter to you, the Counselor to you. So we talked a little bit about what it means to receive the Holy Spirit. Literally means to receive Jesus, to receive God. And to receive Jesus is to receive the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Unique aspects of the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Well, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. In fact, he said, I am. You see, he does not give us the popular contemporary option of pluralism, the belief that all religions introduce people to the same God, and he does not give us the option of universalism, the belief that eventually all people end up in heaven. Jesus is, number one, the cornerstone that we build, the church is built on, and our lives are built on. And number two, he is the rock that causes people to stumble. Matthew 21, verse 42 says, Jesus said to them, have you never read the scriptures? The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone or the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets with Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. And then 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 9. As you come to him, the living stone rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be holy, a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. It's a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. We either build on the cornerstone of Jesus Christ as our life, or we'll fall on the rock that He is. Amen. Today in our series, The Waiting Place. So what are you waiting on? As much as possible this morning, I want to take the undertone of that being a bad thing out of this phrase. What are you waiting on? Can be a really good thing. Amen. Waiting is so hard and awkward. Elevators are the most awkward place on the planet. It's hard to be in each other's bubble in a 6x6 room with no windows. Depending on pure mechanical engineering, that door is going to open and you're going to go either up or down without being propelled out of the building or down to the foundation, free fall. It's awkward. It's the in-between time between floors. It's the blank page in between chapters. That waiting can be so difficult. But you remember, all of the greats of the Bible had wait time. Even Jesus had to wait. Jesus had to wait 30 years to be baptized by John for his public ministry to begin. Our past, our present, and our future all include waiting. What are you waiting on? How many of you have ever seen a prism? Not a prison, a prism. You hold it up to natural light, not this artificial stuff, but you hold it up to natural light in the sun with a room full of windows and just turn that prism a little bit, and all of a sudden, all of the light that's in the room becomes focused and you can see the colors of the rainbow all over the room. It's not that the light that is able to produce those colors isn't there in the first place. It's the fact that the prism makes it possible for you to see the light through focus. It all becomes clear. Our past, our present, and our future all becomes clear when looked at through the prism of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now we're in the in-between time. Jesus is getting ready to be ascended into heaven. He's promising the Holy Spirit to His disciples. And they are waiting. They're waiting for the promise to be fulfilled. And none of this would make any sense at all had not Jesus risen from the dead. Now let's bring that back to where we live. Your past, your present, and your future will not make sense unless viewed through the prism of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Your past, redeemed. Your present, power. Your future, hope. Made possible through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the most important event that has ever happened in the history of all creation. Many times, like the disciples, we have to learn to wait until full understanding comes before we can proceed with focus and purpose. There were several instances in Scripture where it's recorded by the gospel writers that Jesus said something before the crucifixion, death, and burial. Jesus said something or did something and they missed it completely. And then it says, it wasn't until after he was ascended that they understood what was going on. That's us. Amen. Many times. And life is going to be a little bit unclear unless we begin to see our past, present, and future through the lens, through the prism of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Between Jesus' ascension and the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost was a period of waiting. It didn't mean the disciples were being punished, nor did it mean that it took time for Jesus to get to heaven so he could have a 10-day meeting with God in order to get ready to send the Holy Spirit. Rather, the disciples needed to be prepared through the waiting. Amen? What was going on there was they were given a promise, and then, like a great tea bag, they had to wait for the fulfillment of that promise to occur through Jesus. But that doesn't make it easy. Amen? Waiting can be the most uncomfortable place on the planet. It's hard. It involves patience. Sometimes it's open-ended. And it certainly delays reward. However, waiting is valuable. In use of money or credit, the best advice is not to make purchases based on impulse. Waiting. Go home and sleep on it. Go home and think about it. If you can't buy it with cash, take a second look. Maybe you don't need it in the first place. Wait can be good, but we're so bad at it, especially in our culture. Americans are terrible at waiting. I mean, we love fast food, not slow food. It's not that fast food is so good, it's that it's fast. Our palate wants slow food, but our impulse wants fast food. So we trade slow for fast simply because we can't wait. In pregnancy, waiting is good because both the mother and the father and the baby are being prepared for the birth. Prior to promotion at work, waiting prepares you by giving you needed experience to be a success at your new job. In the waiting, in line, waiting around in a very uncomfortable place where you don't know how long you're going to be waiting. This is where Jesus prepares his disciples. He prepares them for his ultimate leaving. He prepares them for the coming of the Holy Spirit. And he prepares them for what life is going to look like after the Holy Spirit comes. Friends, you'll move mountains. The possibilities are endless. You will do even greater things than I've done because I go to the Father. That's what life is supposed to look like. John chapter 14, verses 15 through 21. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father. I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor. This is a member of the Trinity, the triune God, the Counselor, the Spirit, a distinct member of the Trinity. He has a specific identity and a specific ministry. And this Spirit of Truth, the world cannot accept because they've not accepted Jesus. Are you all with me? Can you hear me all the way back? Deep theological truth here. Verse 20, on that day you will realize I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. Wait a minute. Jesus went to heaven. No. Yes. Yeah. No. Yes. Okay. Let's forget about trying to get it all in here and take it by faith. Amen. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is Jesus in you. Jesus in you. Jesus in you. When we receive the Holy Spirit, we are taken up into the life of the Trinity because the Holy Spirit lives in us as Jesus' disciples. And Jesus lives in us as well. Jesus is the truth. This truth is in us because the Spirit of Truth is in us. We have eternal life when the Spirit is in us because Jesus is the life. We live because He lives, and it begins to make more sense when we see everything through the prism of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Spirit makes it possible for us to be in Jesus and He in us. Jesus is in the Father, and we have communion with the Father as well. When we receive the Holy Spirit, we are taken up into the life of the Trinity, the triune God, everything that God is, all of who He is in us. God's salvation plan is unfolding through the prism of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I like 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20. It says, who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently. That had to be hard for God to wait. I don't know. Maybe it wasn't hard for him, but he waited patiently while Noah built the ark. And God waited patiently for 3 days to raise his son from the dead. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. And God waits today. He's waiting right now for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord to be saved. Amen. Waiting is part of God's plan. We don't like it, but it can be a really great place. And it's okay to be there. So, what are you waiting for? Maybe a really good thing. Don't let the pressure of the culture that we live in force you into action that is not right. There's a time and a season for everything under the sun. Amen? And if we rush that, we become God and try to change the timetable of it all, and it just messes things up so bad. The New Testament, the entire New Testament and the Old Testament is written within the context of waiting. In the Old Testament, they're waiting for the Messiah to come. Are y'all here? Can y'all hear me? And in the New Testament, we're waiting for him to come back. Waiting is part of God's plan. And it can be a really good thing if we understand it through the prism of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'd like to invite our worship team to come on up. As we close this morning, a reminder that waiting, here's the hard part. Here's the good part. Waiting does not mean inaction. Waiting does not mean inaction or non-action. Acts chapter 17, verses 22 through 31. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious, for I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship. I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' Now what you worship as something unknown, I'm going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by hands, and he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human man's design and skill. But in the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead." We wait for God to make his final move in regards to the history of this world. We wait, and proof of it is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that all creation groans and anticipates and waits for redemption. In the meantime, here's some points to ponder while you wait. If you will, 10 commandments that are pulled from 1 Peter chapter 4. If you'd like to take your Bible and open it and begin to read, I think Brad's going to put some things up on the screen, if possible. The children of Israel got into real trouble when Moses went up Mount Sinai. They got tired of waiting, and what did they do? They pulled together all their gold and they made a golden calf. Why? Because they got tired of waiting. They were singing and dancing, totally missing the point. The whole time God was writing the Ten Commandments that we even have today with his finger in stone. They were missing it because they weren't willing to wait. Number one, Ten Commandments of waiting during the wait, points to ponder while we wait. Number one, acknowledge in faith that the end of all things is near. See, hear the elevator music back there? As we wait, and we wait for God's plan to be fully revealed, number one, acknowledge in faith that the end of all things is near. Number two, believe that he will work all things together for good. 1 Peter chapter 4 says, be sober, be of sound mind, be in control of yourself. So number three, control yourself. Number four, don't dawdle. Number five, eliminate brain cloud. What do I mean by that? Paul says, be sober so you can pray. Be self-controlled so that you can pray. When we're waiting, between floors, pray. Be self-controlled. Focus on Jesus. Don't grumble. Practice hospitality. Initiate good. And above all these things, love. So, what are you waiting on? What are you waiting for? Let me encourage you this morning. Who you waiting on can be a great place to be. He's doing something in you and me while we wait for his final plan to be revealed. Let's keep our focus on Jesus. Amen. All right. Okay. Had enough elevator music. Ridiculous. Thanks, Brad. Well, at least you'll remember it. Man, the pastor was corny this morning. Played elevator music during the service. Yeah, but you'll remember it. And I'm willing to do something crazy. So, thank you. I couldn't see it on the black floor. Here's another one if you can't pick it up. Ah, thank you. Let's stand together and sing this last song as we are dismissed. I know not why God's wondrous